Joining me on the call is Harriet Moser. Harriet is a consultant with Franchise Resource Company, a Scottsdale-based franchise consulting firm and the Arizona affiliate of FranNet. They employ an unusual and effective methodology to evaluate and match prospective business owners to the franchise opportunities that best suit them. Harriet's business background includes having owned three businesses, two franchise businesses, and one independent startup company. Her occupations over the years have been as varied as executive recruiting in Portland, Maine, representing 250 radio stations in New York City, and running a 50-foot charter sailboat in the British Virgin Islands. Harriet, welcome to Working My Way Seminars.
Thank you very much, Brett.
Appreciate your perspective on key issues in determining if buying a franchise is right for you. One thing that we've emphasized throughout our series on career success for mature workers is the importance of assessment, getting an understanding of what your priorities, your interests are, how that matches up with your skills, knowledge, and experience in going after the best career opportunity, and certainly looking at entrepreneurship and the opportunities that franchises offer individuals. Very important to look at all the aspects of assessing oneself, understanding the marketplace for franchises, and seeing what's a fit. Tell me about your perspective on the entrepreneur and especially those who would do well in franchise ownership.
Okay, well, franchise ownership certainly is one of the entrepreneurial options that's out there. There are very few, in my belief, there are very few what I would call true startup entrepreneurs, individuals who are willing to risk it all, put everything they own on the line, fly in the face of family and friends many times, inspire others to invest money with them, lose it, do it again, do it again, do it again until they're successful. That's a very small percentage of people, and I believe that one of the reasons the franchise model has been so successful in this country is that it's a model in which the franchisor itself has been taking the risks of the startup entrepreneur. What they need in franchisees are people who have good management and implementing skills. And there are many really highly qualified, extremely talented individuals who come from the corporate world that have these skills in spades. Franchises allow those with great skills developed in their corporate lives to use them on behalf of being in business for themselves. And that's a major, that's a remarkable fit, and it broadens out what being in business, who can be in business, and who can be in business successfully.
So it sounds like franchises offer an excellent foundation on which a person coming from the world of business, other organizations that bring raw management, operational skills, and so on, to really dive in and be successful.
Yes, with a great deal of mitigation of the risk aspect that normally will keep the majority of those people out of the category that I call true startup entrepreneurs.
Tell me about selecting a franchise. There's such a myriad of opportunities out there. Naturally, when people say franchises, they think of fast foods and other retail type establishments. But obviously, the opportunity to franchise a business has really expanded into a large number of service, manufacturing, distribution firms and the like, in addition to just retail. Give me a feel for the marketplace of franchises.
Well, I usually have been quoting over 2,500, and we just got a report in from the IFA, our industry's formal association, that says it's now over 3,000. Anyone who has gone on the Internet and put in a search term franchises gets a sense of how overwhelming that is. Now, on the good side, what's exciting is there is hardly an industry one could think of that isn't represented in the world of franchising now. There's business-to-business, there's retail, there's consulting businesses, there's home-based businesses, very, very fine franchises. And there's a whole lot of, frankly, junk out there. It really is rather overwhelming to try to determine which of these franchises is a good franchise themselves, and more important, which one's a good fit for you. Mm-hmm. In my experience, it is far more important that the franchise be a good fit for the sets and be a good cultural fit for the franchisee, that's more directly correlative to whether they're going to be successful than whether it's a hot franchise or not.
Let's talk about fit from a standpoint, again, of assessing one's interests and priorities. Where would you start in consulting with an individual to identify and research types of franchises that may be a good fit?
Well, I actually have a fairly formalized process. Part of it comes from my own background as an executive recruiter, and some of it is why I chose Franchise Resource Company and Franet, that they actually do believe in and have been working for 23 years on developing profiling tools. My experience as a headhunter, I use profiling tools and interview to match people with the skills and the corporate cultures of companies that were looking for individuals that would do well, that they needed with those skills and with those corporate cultures. Functionally, I do exactly the same thing now, except I'm working with ownership mentality people who are looking for what's going to be a good skill set and cultural fit for them in the world of franchising. I start out by using these profiling tools even before I meet with an individual. I send the profiling tools to them, and when it's in front of me in black and white, I look at where does this individual's profile look like or be close to the profiles of the top 25% performers in any franchise system that we represent. And we represent about 150 of them. And this could be food service or B2B or home-based businesses or anything. I'm not pre-qualifying for anything at that point, just looking at where does the profile look like a good fit.
I like your term reality checks. The fact that it's very important to put everything on the table, get a good understanding with regards to what an initial investment, what potential income, the financing opportunities, and obviously lifestyle issues come into play. Elaborate on those areas a little bit.
Okay, well, certainly I'm a big one for reality checks. I like to tell people that I'm not mean in my consulting practice, but I am straight. It does take money. People who have no money at all to invest, it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate that they take the even mitigated risk of being in the franchise system. Now, how much money it takes can be anything from, I think on the low end, about $75,000 all in investment, up to, in our practice, up to around $500,000. That is not to say that there aren't great franchises out there that are over $500,000. It's simply that the ones that we follow, the ones that we track, our clientele prefers to be in businesses that are under $500,000. So that's the pool of franchises that we track. Now, of that money, of that total investment, you should probably assume that about 25 to 30% of that is going to be your cash. There are some very interesting ways of availing yourself to financing out there right now. Certainly in our market, where we had a run-up of real estate values, even given our current market, there are many people that have home equity. And frankly, that's probably been the number one place that people have gone in the past 4 years for investment monies for that 25 to 30%. The balance of it can come from an SBA loan. SBA has been around for a long time. And the one that surprises most people that's available, and I've had a half dozen clients last year that use this, there is a totally legal way of accessing retirement funds for the equity investment in your business. Must be done by IRS standards. Do not cash in 401ks. That's not what I'm saying. But it is a resource that's worth investigating and becoming educated about so that you can decide if it's appropriate. I counsel people, do not expect to take any money out of your business in the first year. Even if the business is cash flowing, you're going to want to reinvest in it. So that means that you have to have enough money to cover the nut of the business and pay for your personal expenses for that year. Nothing is sadder to me than seeing someone who's in month 9 of a business and is actually doing great, is tracking exactly as they should be, but had an unrealistic expectation of what the cash was going to be and can't pay their home bills and needs to get out of the business when they were doing really well. It's just unrealistic expectations. And this can be validated. You can be real about it if you choose to be real about it and really do the research to determine what you're going to need to get to that break-even point. In terms of working hard, please don't think that the franchisor is going to do the work for you. And there are some people I've met that actually are under that impression. The franchisor trains you, supports you. They love taking people who have no background with their industry at all and training people with the correct skill sets to do very well. But you're going to work as hard as you ever did in the corporate world, particularly during the first 3 years. But there's light at the end of this tunnel, unlike in the corporate world, where as long as you're there, they're going to ask more and more and more out of you. In a franchise of your own, if you're using your management skills and using your skills to create an organization, having managers, there's light at this end of the tunnel. You get a chance to have your two-day work weeks, to do your traveling, and to make the choice as to whether you want to or need to be at your child's event or not, and there's nobody to ask but yourself.
So definitely some lifestyle changes that will need to be in place as you start your franchise, get involved with the training, make sure over the initial months and years that things are running well. Then, obviously, opportunities for more flexibility with regards to work-life balance and so on.
Yes, indeed. And one thing I have to mention, your spouse must be on board in this decision. It is hard enough to start a new business on your own, any kind of business, with your spouse's support. I am a big believer that if spouses, after they're educated, if they've been involved in the process of determining this with you, if they're really against it, don't do it. It's hard enough to go into business with a supportive spouse. It is not fun to be in a business and 2 weeks after you start it, I told you not to do it. That is just not, that's prescription for failure.
The next key issue, mitigating risk. You've touched upon this in talking about some of the other issues, but certainly your perspective is that the opportunity to mitigate risk is a strong suit of franchises. Tell us about that.
If people utilize the tools that are available, probably one of the big ones that the government put in place back in 1970-something, there is a requirement that a franchisor provides a prospective franchisee with a document called the Franchise Disclosure Document. This is not light reading material. It's about 2 inches thick, but there's some really important stuff in here. Background about the management of the franchise, the financial information on the franchisor, a startup budget for a new franchisee, and given the number one reason new businesses go out of business is because they're undercapitalized, they don't know what it's going to take to get to break even, this is some very, very valuable information. Now, I always tell people, it's a starting place. Don't take that as fact. What you do with any numbers that you find in an FDD is then you do what you can do with a franchise and with no other type of form of business, is you get to talk to people who are sitting in the same seat that you're thinking of going into, the other franchisees. You have complete access to them because in the FDD are the names, addresses, and phone numbers of every single franchisee in that system and anyone who's left in the past 12 months. If there is going to be an earnings claim, it'll be in the FDD, and I use a big if here because one of the things that the government put in place, again, to protect consumers was a law that said it was illegal for a franchisor to make earnings claims or to make statements that were extrapolatable to an earnings claim. And this can be kind of frustrating to a person who says, yeah, but I want to know how much money can I make. The franchisor may not be able to tell you that. But the franchisees, who are the people who have nothing, they can tell you anything. And these are the people you need to be validating financial information with. And they're like any other, you know, people. If there are some that are incredibly generous, will have you talk to you for 2 hours, have you come down and see their place. There are some that will say, I have 5 minutes, give me your top three questions. But mostly you find them to be very, very generous and very real. You'll hear the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Very good. Obviously, choosing a franchise, many, many aspects of that, many issues that one needs to think about. So when I ask the question, what's hot in franchising? Maybe you could give me a perspective just in terms of overall trends. I don't expect, okay, here are the top five franchises that are happening in the United States or elsewhere. But what do you see as trends as it relates to franchising in general, types of franchises that definitely are being successful?
Franchises do something. They do track. The franchise industry tracks trends. Because what franchises are not is they're not if we build it, will they come kind of businesses. That's for the venture capitalists. Franchises go into industries that there's already huge billions of dollars being spent. It's not if we build it, will they come. They're here. They're spending. And what a franchise does is create a new system, a superior system, a better mousetrap, to make it more convenient and easier for the consumer to spend money with the franchisor system than with an independent. That's a perfect scenario for franchising being involved. Some of the trends of this next 10 years, certainly anything that has to do with aging baby boomers. This is a mega trend. It's been around for, you can't pick up a magazine for the past 5 years and not see something about aging baby boomers. Well, baby boomers are reaching the empty nester stage. And everything, no matter where this big bubble has gone, whatever's been important to baby boomers has been important to the economy. When it was acne medicine, that was important. Now it's staying young and vibrant and healthy, and the whole world of products and services that are involved with that, whether it be Botox injections, gyms, health food stores, the staying home, the whole issues of dealing with seniors, their parents who want to stay out of a nursing home, helping parents with in-home health care. All of these issues, anything that is of importance to aging baby boomers is a major trend, and there are many businesses that are focusing on that. The services that people who are working hard, we have a society where most of our, in fact, I think it's 80% of the people who are earning more, the families who are earning more than $50,000 are two-income earning families.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That means that they're both working lots of hours, and there's things that people who work very hard don't do that was done when one spouse stayed home. So the whole area of services, home services, support services, maid services, handyman services, things that people who have discretionary funds but do not have the time, and have, if they have discretionary funds, they want their leisure time to be with their family or on the golf course, and we're willing to pay for those services. Those are big trends. Food, eating out, absolutely, all the areas of food. Now, food is not my favorite sector. It is a very, very volatile sector. It's the highest profile. It's usually the first thing people will say, well, I want to be in, and then fill in the blank, food. And my first question to them will be, do you really want to be in food service, or do you want to be in a business that you perceive as being healthy and able to make you money? And most of them will say, no, I want to be in a business that's a good business that makes me money. And I encourage them to look at other things besides food. But it certainly is a very strong trend. People are eating out a lot, and they eat out more and more.
Right.
There's trends in pets, and there's trends in children, and there's trends in many, many things. There's trends in corporate America itself. The fact that we are doing a lot of home-based businesses, telecommuting. There's a whole industry that's built up to support people that are working out of their homes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there are many. It's rather exciting when you realize how, when you start to realize how broad it is. Just being narrowed in on the little segment of food service, there is far more out there.
Sure. Last key issue, gaining information and getting support. Obviously, your firm offers some interesting opportunities here locally, and I know you're part of a national affiliation. Tell us how people should start the due diligence process, start the research process and the like.
I conduct a seminar, and there's no fee for the seminar I conduct every month. It's called Franchising 101, and this is for individuals who are even considering, think they might be interested in franchising. There are many things that you should know about the wonderful world of franchising, regardless of the specific system that you get involved with. I've never had anyone attend the seminar that hasn't felt it was extremely worthwhile. And this covers a lot of things. It covers its own trends. It covers expectations of income and of expenses and how the exit strategy. Think about your exit strategy when you start. Most people do not do that, and many people are unhappy at the exit end of their business ownership experience. So we cover a lot of things in that general seminar, and it is free, it is really encouraged, and it certainly is the first place to start. Then when I'm working with individuals on an individual consulting basis, we do the profiling. I do the interviewing that talks about things that are not on the profile. What do you like and not like? Doesn't do any good if it's a profile and says, oh, looks like you'd be great at this business. It's involving children. And you say, I don't like kids. Might not be a good fit. Lifestyle. I deal with a lot of senior executives that profile out as empire builders. They can handle lots of employees. They can handle very, very elaborate businesses. And they may tell me, been there, done that. I want 9 to 5. I don't want any weekends. And I frankly don't care if I have employees. So So I may be changing out or putting in some businesses to bring to their attention that I wasn't originally planning on just because of the profiling tool.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Then I will guide people through the due diligence process. And in all honesty, that's where the rubber meets the road. If you do the due diligence process properly, you can mitigate risk dramatically in the world of franchising. Talking to franchisors, reviewing the FDD, talking to as many franchisees as it takes for you to determine what is a day in the life of the owner. What do people, how kind of, what kind of support are they getting from their franchisor? Their initial support, their ongoing support. Are these people happy? Are they making the kind of money that you want to make? Are they living the kind of lifestyle you want to live? Do I see myself, do I quack like the guys that are doing well in it? Or do I find myself more resonating with the people who are having issues and problems with the business? This helps you a lot. At the end, I always encourage people to see a franchise attorney, have those documents reviewed by an attorney, certainly look at the different financing options, and we'll point you in the direction of different financing options to get educated about that. Go back for a discovery day, see these people in their home office, because the person you've been talking to may be the salesperson and not the people who are going to be supporting you after you are a franchisee.
Right.
By the time you've done all that, you know a lot about that business. You know a lot about hopefully several businesses that you've explored, and you've learned a lot about yourself.
Harriet, very good points. Let's review really quickly the 6 points that Harriet brought up. Number one, are you a true entrepreneur? What does well in franchise ownership in terms of, again, assessing your skills, knowledge, and experience, as well as your interests and priorities? Selecting a franchise, number two, the fact that there are over 3,000 franchises available, and how do you go about the selection process? Number three, the importance of fit in selecting your franchise business. Number four, reality checks, understanding issues around the investment, income, overall financing, and the changes in your lifestyle. Number five, mitigating risk, knowing that this is a strong suit of franchises and understanding the due diligence process. And number six, gaining information, getting support, taking advantage of services like Harriet's, and she works on a nationwide basis with individuals. Your website, Harriet, is www.franchiseresource.com. So I assume that's a great starting place for people who would like to learn more about your services and get in touch with you.
It is indeed.
Great. I really appreciate your insights today. Thanks a lot for participating in our Career Success Seminars.
My pleasure, Brad.